Great. Do grab a seat. But don't get too comfy or too settled, because it's time now for a little quiz, which is called Sort It Out. Okay, very simple, this game. You're going to see five things, a list of five things come up on the screen, and you've got to sort them out. You've got to put these five things in the right order. Okay, three questions, and here's question number one. Sort these creatures according to their weight from lightest to heaviest. So there's the creatures: a baby elephant, blue whale, giant tortoise, racehorse, pet Labrador. 30 seconds. You've got to sort them out from lightest to heaviest. Got it? Okay, I reckon that should be enough. They're going to disappear, so hopefully you got the order in your head. Sort them out, lightest to heaviest. So what's the lightest? Yeah, pet Labrador, 35 kilograms-ish. What's coming next? Baby elephant at 100 kilograms, still quite a weighty baby. Baby elephant, 100 kilograms. A giant tortoise can grow to 400 kilograms in weight. What's coming next? It is a racehorse, 700 kilograms plus. And then, of course, the mighty blue whale, 100,000 kilograms. There's question one. Question number two, coming up on the screen. Sort these athletic events by their world record distance, okay? Different throws and different jumps from the shortest to the longest. Discus, triple jump, shot put, javelin, long jump. Sort them out. You've got 30 seconds. Okay, I reckon that should do us then. Are we ready? Shortest, begin with shortest, going to longest. What's the shortest world record? It is the long jump, 8.96 meters. Coming next, triple jump, 18.29 meters. Then it is the shot put, 21.12, followed by the discus, 74.08, and the javelin, nearly 100 meters. There we go. And here's question number three, as we begin to home in on what we're thinking about this morning. Final question: sort these big Easter moments by when they happen, from earliest in the Bible story to latest in the Bible story. Five big events: Jesus is arrested, Judas betrays Jesus, Jesus on trial before Pilate, Jesus dies, calls out, "It is finished," and Peter denies Jesus. 30 seconds again to put those big Bible events in order. Okay, do we reckon we got it then? Big Easter moments from earliest in the Bible story to latest. What's coming first? Yeah, Judas betraying Jesus. for 30 silver coins. What happens next? Yeah, Jesus arrested in the garden. You remember all the soldiers come with their clubs and their lanterns. What happens next? We do. We have the denial. One of Jesus' best friends, Peter, denies that he even knew him 3 times in order to protect himself. Then we do have the trial. Jesus, the innocent one, on trial before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, sentenced to death, which brings us lastly to Jesus on the cross. And just before he dies, he cries out, "It is finished." And this morning, we're going to be thinking a bit about that cry from Jesus on the cross. Just 3 words, "It is finished." And we find those words in John chapter 19, verse 30. Have a look on the screen. When he'd received the drink, Jesus hanging on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And in a moment, we're going to think a bit more about those 3 words, "It is finished," and why they are so, so important to us today. But before we do, we're going to sing another song. And this is a song that comes with actions, and it reminds us that the one hanging on the cross is in fact the King of all creation. Jesus is the King, and he is ruler over everything. Do stand, sing along, and if you think you can join in with the actions, do that as well. Let's stand. Very good. Jesus is the King. Do take a seat. Now, who can remind me, what were those 3 words that we're looking at this morning that Jesus spoke from the cross? "It is finished." Here's the question now, though. What did Jesus actually mean when he said, "It is finished"? Because the word "finished" can mean 2 very different things. So let me try and illustrate with the help of our friend Marathon Man. Come and join us at the front. Marathon Man, here he comes. Very busy this morning, Marathon Man. He's also running the tech at the back. So here he is. Here's Marathon Man. What's going to happen now then, okay? Marathon Man is going to run 2 different races round the outside of church, okay? And it's a basic spot the difference. So you're going to watch the first race, watch what he does, listen out particularly for what he says and how he says it. Then he's going to run race number 2. And I'm going to ask you the question, what was the difference between the 2 races? And particularly, how he uses the word "finished." Okay? So, Marathon Man, you ready? Here we go. Race number 1. There we go, I'm done. I'm finished, says Marathon Man. I've had enough. That's race number 1. Back you come for race number 2. Here he is, race number 2. Spot the difference. Here we go. There we go. Give a round of applause. Back you go, Marathon Man. Lovely. So 2 races, 2 different ways the word "finished" was used. So anyone want to be brave and tell us what the difference was? Hugo, are you going for it?
He gived up in the middle of the race.
Yeah, so the first one he gave up, didn't he?
Yeah.
The first one, he's getting too tough, and he gets his head back, throws it down and says, "I'm done, I've finished, I've had enough." That was actually a cry of defeat, wasn't it? Cry of defeat in the first one. But what about the second one? What happened in the second race? Go on, Jesse.
He didn't give up.
Yeah, he didn't give up. He came all the way around. What was he like at the end? You're like, yes, I've finished. It is done. It is complete. Two very different ways of using the word finished. A cry of defeat and a cry of victory, of completion. So here's the question for you. When Jesus says it is finished on the cross, was it a cry of defeat or was it a cry of victory? Which was it? Cry of victory, yeah. Do the big V, everyone put your hands up, big V. It was a cry of victory. And it was a cry of victory because Jesus completed, he finished the work his Father gave him to do, the work of dying on the cross for our sin. It was a cry of victory. It's done. Everything I came to do is now done. It is finished. And we're going to sing about that in our next song. It was finished upon that cross. So let's stand together as we sing about the finished work of Jesus. And if someone would like to remind me whether the cry of Jesus on the cross was a cry of defeat, it's done, it's over, or was it a cry of victory? Which was it? It was a cry of victory. The question now, though, is victory over what? Or to put it another way, so what? So what? Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago, so what? Why does that matter to me and to you today? Well, imagine for a moment that you've just opened up a bank account, okay? Some of the little ones here might not have bank accounts, but someday you will, I imagine. You've just opened up this bank account and there's no money coming in. No money whatsoever coming in. But every single day, there's money going out. And every day you get a text from the bank that pings on your phone telling you exactly how much you owe. And it's going up and up and up every day. The debt is growing. And there is nothing whatsoever you can do to pay it off yourself. But then one day you get a letter from the bank saying that someone has paid the debt in full. Can you imagine how you'd feel? How good would that be? You've got this ever-increasing debt and it's this huge burden. It's weighing so heavily upon you. It's growing and it's growing and it's growing. Then one day you get the news that someone has paid off the entire debt in one go. How good would that feel? Well, it's a little bit like that with our sin. You see, as each day goes by, we fall further and further into debt with God. Each time we fail to tell the truth, the debt grows. Each time we speak an unkind word, the debt grows. Each time we let someone down in a small way or a big way, the debt grows. Each time we want something in our hearts that we shouldn't want, the debt grows. And it's a debt that we can never, ever pay off ourselves, however hard we try. But the good news of Easter is that the debt has been paid. We don't get a letter from the bank. We get a word from Jesus on the cross saying, it's finished. It is done. Your debt has been paid in full, in its entirety, by Jesus on the cross. There's a lovely verse in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that says this: God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, Jesus had no sin. He was sinless. Never did he get anything wrong. He had no debt whatsoever before God. But the sinless one took on our sin. He took on our debt, all of our wrongdoing, and he paid for that sin in full on the cross. so that we can be forgiven. So that on that day when we stand before the God who made us, as we will, we can stand before him without a sin to our name, without a mark against our account, not because we're particularly good or better than anyone else, but that because we trusted in Jesus to take away our sin and to pay our debt and to be welcomed into his heaven forever. Our sins, they're many. Our debt, it is great. But his mercy, his grace that he showed us at the cross is more. And that's what we're going to sing about now in our next song. It's another song with actions. Do join in if you want. Sing along with the words as we think about what Jesus did. Our sins, they are many, but his mercy is so much more. So let's stand together as we sing our next song. Many, but wonderfully, his mercy is more. So, final recap, was the cry of Jesus on the cross a cry of defeat or a cry of victory? It was a cry of victory, and it was a cry of victory because Jesus finished the work his Father gave him to do, which was to pay the penalty for our sin in full on the cross. So, the work was finished. But wonderfully, Jesus wasn't finished. Because as we know, on the third day, Jesus rose again to new life and he conquered the grave to show us that death is not the end. There is life beyond the grave. Now, this might be a bit risky, but I'm going to throw out a few tennis balls. Who wants a tennis ball? Okay, one at the front between you three. Anyone else for a tennis ball? Riley? Anyone else for a tennis ball? Hugo? And it was four more. I'm going to roll some to the back instead. It feels a little bit dangerous. There's one more. Go on then, Noah. There's another one. Anyone else? Two more. One to go. Simon, you ready? Yes. Very good. Now, if you've got a tennis ball in your hand, what I want you to do, okay, is try and squeeze that tennis ball, okay? It's round at the minute. I want you to try and make it flat. You can try and do it in one hand or two hands. Try and squeeze that tennis ball. And try and do it maybe twice or three times or four times. How easy or hard is that? Easy or hard? Quite hard to do, yeah? Pass on to someone else or pass to someone. If you think there's someone really strong sat next to you, pass it on to them. See if they think they can do it. Give it a squeeze. Easy or hard? How hard is that to make a round ball flat, yeah? Quite tricky? Well, here's the thing. It takes about the same amount of energy, okay, as it does to squeeze a tennis ball once as it does for your heart to beat. One beat of your heart to squeeze and to push your lifeblood all around your body. That's how much energy it takes to beat once. Now, how many times do you reckon your heart beats in a day, roughly? Any ideas? Do you want to see? 100,000 times your heart will beat today. Dudum, 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 dudum. And each time your heart is beating, it is squeezing the lifeblood around your body. But you see, here's the thing. The day will come when your heart beats for the last time. The day will come when your heart for the last time squeezes and pushes blood around your body and life as you know it will come to an end. And you see, on that day, it will really, really matter that Jesus is alive. Because he hasn't just got authority over his death. When he rose from the grave, he has authority over our death as well. In fact, I wouldn't even say in a lifetime, it'd be 2.5 billion times your heart would beat. That's 70, 80 years of life. Here's what Jesus says to a lady called Martha, who's just lost her brother Lazarus. And this is what Jesus says. He speaks about that he's the one who has authority over death itself. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And you can imagine Jesus looking Martha direct in the eye. He searches her heart. She's just lost a brother. She's distraught. And Jesus says to her, Martha, do you believe that I am the one who can bring life in the midst of death? Do you believe that I'm the one who has authority over death itself? And the question that Jesus asked Martha then is the question that he asks us today. As he looks us in the eye and he searches your heart and says, do you believe this? Or to put it another way, do you believe the message of Easter? That Jesus died on a cross to take away our sin. He said, it's finished. It is done. I've paid the penalty in full. And then he rose again to new life. He conquered the grave to show that death is not the end. There is life everlasting with him. I wonder this morning, do you believe this? Because it's a question that Jesus asks us all. But in a moment, we're going to sing about that great victory in our final song. Before we do, though, Caleb and Flo are just going to come and lead us briefly in a time of prayer. And I've lost the microphone that's at the back somewhere. Kay, do you want to bring that forward with you? So let's bow our heads in prayer, and Caleb and Flo are going to give thanks to God for Easter.